Hey, did you have a happy Thanksgiving?
Yeah?
How many ate more than, don't admit it, but how many ate more than one plate full of food? Okay, I'm going to admit it. I did. Yeah. I mean, like it was, the plate was, we had the biggest plates we've ever had this year. They were like this big. And I'm like, there's no way I can eat two of those. I did. It was a great time. Being with family and friends, there's probably nothing like it, huh? And giving thanks to the Lord. Thanking Him for all that He has done. And now Christmas, 4 weeks away. Whoa, are you kidding? It's going to be a great moment. Did you catch that that announcement? Christmas Eve service is on Sunday morning because it's Christmas Eve. So we'll do it at 10 o'clock, not in the evening. We're not going to do it at 10 and then back at night. So we'll have the candlelight communion, the whole deal on Christmas Eve, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Boy, that's hard to remember. I want to share with you something this morning that is really a life message for me. It's something I've practiced for many, many years, and I'm a firm believer in downloading the Holy Spirit in my life. And I don't mean just the gifts of the Spirit, but the wisdom from the Father. Because a lot of us have knowledge, but knowledge puffs up, but we really need to know how to apply that knowledge, right? And that's what we call wisdom. So go to your Bible, please. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Are you ready to get in the Word? I hope so. I feel like I haven't been here forever, 1 month, and I'll be back in a month to do it again. But look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom, let's read it together. Can you read out loud? Come on. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. One more time, you're into it now. Wisdom. Now, if I were to ask you to bake a cake, what are the ingredients that go into a cake? Somebody help me. Do you put salt? You put eggs in it? Okay, put eggs in it. What else? Vanilla? Sugar? Flour? Milk? Okay, but let me ask this question. If I had a bowl here and I was going to make make a cake, and I put all those ingredients in, but I left out flour, what would I end up with? Cake soup. Why? Because flour is the principal thing. Everybody say principal thing. That's important to remember, because if flour is the principal thing, you can have all the ingredients, leave out flour, and you end up with cake soup. Right? So it is in the kingdom of God. We could have a lot of additives. We could have worship. We could have prayer times. We could have Sunday school classes. We could have life groups. We could have all of these things. But if we don't have wisdom, we have a lot of knowledge, but we don't have wisdom, we end up with church soup. It runs everywhere, and it has no substance. I learned a long time ago that I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I learned that I don't have a lot of natural intellect, that I couldn't do what God called me to do on my own. I realized that early on. As a matter of fact, I resisted the call of God because I felt so unqualified. How many know we know ourselves better than anybody? And do you ever feel like you just don't know enough or that you can't? I think we all do. And I realized that when I was first called to preach. I was sitting in a pew and someone was speaking and I heard the Lord say to me, "You're going to do that." And I'm like, "There is no way. I will never get up in front of people. It's too intimidating. I wouldn't know what I would say. I would have nothing to say." Now you can't shut me up, you know. But God is a way of making up our lack. Now, I'm not proud of this, but I graduated 423rd out of my high school graduating class. And some say, "Well, how many were in your graduating class?" 425. No, that's not true. There were 625, I want you to know. But I went to college 10 years later, Bible college. And I did well in Bible college. I finished with a 3.2 grade point average with three children working full time. And so God restored my mind. But I realized my limitations. And I learned this secret that I want to share with you. I want to pass it on to you that there is wisdom that comes from heaven. But how do I get heaven's wisdom into my spirit and into my thinking so that I can operate it in day-to-day decisions? How many know that every decision you make has a consequence? And not only does it have a consequence, but you're going to live with that consequence. So the choices I make have to be God's choices, or I end up trying to fix things or go back and rework things. Have you ever had to do that? Besides me? Five of us? Okay. Oh, there's more. Everybody's shaking their head now. Okay. I got it. But here's James chapter 1 and verse 7. If you can look at it on the screen. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him. See, Solomon knew this. Remember the story of Solomon? God said, you can ask anything you want. And he said, here's what I want, Father. I want you to give me wisdom that I may know how to rule over your people. And God said, wow, Solomon, that is amazing. Because you ask for wisdom, I'm going to give you everything else that you could have ever dreamt. Because wisdom is what Solomon needed to rule the people of God. You need wisdom for your marriage. You need wisdom to raise your children. You need heavenly wisdom to do business. We need wisdom from God to understand the times and the seasons that we're in, to be able to rightly divide them. John chapter 16 and verse 7 reads this way. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. This is Jesus talking. And he's telling his disciples, look guys, I've got to go. Because if I go, you're going to get blessed. If I go, I'm going to tag team with the Holy Ghost in heaven. And I'm going to send him to you so that greater works will you do than I have ever done on the earth. You know, that scripture always kind of messes with my mind. I'm like, God, how can we do greater things than Jesus? Jesus, like, walked on water. Jesus opened up blind eyes. But the Bible says, greater works shall you do, or in the capacity that is way beyond whatever Jesus did in his Galilean ministry, or the Judean ministry, or Jerusalem ministry. Because not only is there a person, the Godhead bodily in Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is in you, and 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 in me, and all over the earth. And the power and the wisdom of God is revealed in our lives. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Colossians chapter 2. And in him is all the wisdom and revelation of God. So we can actually operate on earth with heaven's wisdom. Oh my gosh, is that exciting? I mean, like, you can make some godly choices that'll rock your world. I mean, you just think about it for a minute. If you could get God's choice. You know, you ever watch those shows on TV? I forget the name of the show. Door number one, door number two, door number three. And you're trying to make a decision, or somebody says, you can have this, but you can also have this. And you're like, oh, what do I do? And people are yelling, take door number two. No. Can you imagine if we could take God's wisdom on every choice we make and it be what God would have chosen? It would be what God would have done? Is that even possible? Everybody shake your head like this. Yeah, it's possible. You and I can operate on earth that way. As a matter of fact, that was Jesus' prayer. He said, it's expedient or necessary that I go away, that I can send to you the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. Look at your neighbor and say, the Holy Ghost knows the mind of God. Now, I want you to get this in your spirit right now. You and I may know about God, but we don't know God the way the Holy Spirit knows the Father. And he wants to reveal him to us, through us, into this world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How does that happen? No, it happens by us operating in the wisdom of the Lord. Look at each instance in the book of Acts, and I don't have time to teach this. I wish I did. Sometimes we need a Sunday service that lasts 6 hours. You know what I mean? Just preach, go ahead and have worship, then eat, come back, preach, worship, eat, come back, preach, worship. Wouldn't that be fun? Okay, well. Anyway, There are a number of occasions in the book of Acts as the church was being birthed. Remember, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, the Holy Spirit came in and they baptized them. What happened? They began to speak with other tongues. Now, don't turn your mind off to the word tongues. A lot of people have, you know, misinformed themselves or redefined what that is. It's called glossolalia. Say, what is that? Heavenly language. They heard him speaking in a language they didn't learn. It was the pattern of the New Testament church. If you look at it, you could write them down. You can read the references later. I don't have time to do it now. But in Acts chapter 2, 4, they began to speak in their heavenly language. In Acts chapter 8, verses 14 to 18. In Acts chapter 10, verses 43 to 48. Acts chapter 13, verses 8 to 11. And Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. They either literally heard them speaking in their heavenly language, or it was inferred in the scripture that that's what happened. So there was a pattern established in the New Testament church. And why was that? Because Jesus said, in order for us to do greater works, in order for us to manifest the kingdom in the earth, we're going to have to think the way God thinks. That's why the Apostle Paul said to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. You know where the greatest battlefield is? Right between these ears, man. That's where the greatest battlefield is. It's our thought life. It's how we think. It's how we view. We need to see life the way God sees it. I need to see you the way God sees you. And not the way I've been taught to see you, or the way I've been experienced to see you, or what you've done to me creates an image now that I don't like you. No, God doesn't not like people. So how can we who proclaim to know God not like some people? You don't know what spirit you're of. That's what Jesus said to Peter. He said, something has gotten in you that's not me. You can't walk around not liking some people. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. Go ask Jesus what they did to him. And what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them what? Know not what they do. They're just ignorant. So forgive them of their ignorance. They need my wisdom. They need my understanding. That's why there's not a person on the earth that you can't forgive. No matter what they did to you. No matter how they treated you. You can love them and there ain't nothing they can do about it. Right? Okay. All right. So we see that that is the pattern of the New Testament church. And I love this scripture in Ephesians. Maybe you can put it on the screen. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Now, it's in the context of marriage, but it's really in the context of Christ and the church. This is what he's really explaining to us, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You may not have ever seen this in the Bible, but that's kind of how I interpret it. So let's read it. And girls, you should read this real loud. Okay, here we go. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself. See, all of you girls should have said, amen. That's right. Husbands, love it. Why? Why did Jesus say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church? The first question I have to ask myself is, how did Jesus love the church? He said, well, he died for her. Okay, baby, you need to die for me today. Well, that's true. Die to our own self. But what did Jesus do? How did he love the church? He loved the church enough to leave, to go through the cross, be resurrected, be ascended into heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and sent the promise from heaven, the Holy Spirit. How do we as husbands love our wives? We love our wives the way Christ loved the church. We love our wives as the Holy Spirit to the church. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit comforts. Husbands, comfort your wives. The Holy Spirit protects. The Holy Spirit stands alongside. The Holy Spirit instructs. The Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit is the advocate of the church. There are so many qualities of what the Holy Spirit does with the church and for the church. And we as husbands ought to be the Holy Spirit to our wives. He said, that's the conjunction. That's how it works. So we realize then that the church needs the comfort. The church needs all of the guidance that the Holy Spirit brings. There's not one thing that you and I can do or should do on our own. As a matter of fact, the scripture says Jesus didn't say anything unless he heard the Father speak it first. So who are we? Well, this is what I think. Shh. Don't really care. Well, this is how I feel. Shh. What is the Father saying? I don't know, man. My emotions are so strong right now. My emotions are so big right now. Maybe we need to learn how to tap into the mind of the Father and only speak what He says. Because words are powerful. Words are powerful, and you'll see this in a minute. But if you go to Genesis chapter 1, there's 9 times where God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. And then it says, God saw. And the question is, what did God see? Everything He said. What are you saying? What are you saying about your marriage? What do you say about your kids? What do you say about your money? What do you say about people? What do you say about the politics? What do you say? We have to say what God says. So Jesus did what He saw the Father doing. You and I likewise. You say, well, how do you do that? Do you learn that at a conference or a seminar? Do you go to Sunday school for that? Or how do I get that? Do I buy a new teaching tape on that? I learned this a couple of years ago, many years ago actually. It's become my life experience. Because I found myself as a pastor not wanting to pastor. Why? Because of my self-inadequacies. I didn't feel like I was smart enough. I didn't feel like I could compete. I didn't feel like I had anything to offer. All of these, you know, past scars and hurts and things that came up in my life. And it was just like, yuck, and I don't know if I could do this. And okay, God, but if you said I could, I will. And then I tried on my own. And I realized that's not the way to do it either. I need an impartation. I need a confidence builder from the Lord. So I found out that the Holy Spirit has at least 3 ministries that He gives to you and me. Number one, if you're taking notes, John chapter 14 and verse 20. The Bible says the Helper will teach you all things. Everybody put a number one up, please. Put a one up like this. One, say teach you.
Teach you.
Say teach me,
teach me
all things. So the Holy Spirit is going to teach me all things. So if the Holy Spirit's going to teach me all things, then if there's something I don't know, I go to the teacher who's going to teach me all things. Right? Established?
Yes.
Everybody agree? Okay, so the Holy Spirit teaches me all things. Now I know that, I find out number 2. Everybody give me a number 2, please. Number 2, it tells us that the Holy Spirit will testify. Come on, put your 2 fingers up. Say, the Holy Spirit will testify of all things. So what is He going to do? He's going to teach me and He's going to testify to me. What do you teach? You teach something you've learned. So the Holy Spirit actually learns from the Father, the mind of the Father. The Holy Spirit searches the mind of God, the depths of God. Only the Spirit of God can go to the depths of the Father and bring the knowledge of the Father to light. Then what He does is He teaches that to whoever will listen. Are you getting excited? I know I am. Okay. But what did you do when you testify? When you testify, you have a testimony. If Mark saw this accident that I was involved in, he could give testimony. He would share in a court of law what he saw. So the Holy Spirit shares with you, shares what He has seen the Father do. So He teaches what He's learned from the Father, and He testifies of what He's seen the Father do. So I wonder what Jesus would do in this situation. Holy Spirit knows. All right? And then number 3, put 3 fingers up. Just, you know, help me out here. Number 3 is John 15:13. He hears and He discloses. Thank you. So He teaches. Say teach.
Teaches.
You're not falling asleep on me, are you? Okay.
Say teaches.
Teaches. All right. He testifies.
He testifies.
And He hears.
And He hears.
That's powerful. So He's very active around the throne of God. He's very active around the mind of the Father. And because He's active around the mind of the Father, Ephesians 1, Paul's apostolic prayer in verse 17 says, may He give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him. It was the apostles' prayer that we don't operate in partial knowledge or partial revelation, but that we operate in the fullness of revelation and the fullness of knowledge. How many want the fullness of revelation? Man, I didn't come to church to get piecemeal. I'm not going to serve God just to get parts of knowledge and just wonder why this thing isn't working. I want to know God, right? You want to know God and the power of his resurrection? That's what Paul the Apostle said. He said, I don't want to know anything else but God and the power of his resurrection. I want to see Jesus. That's what I want to do. And so now the Holy Spirit is our agent. The Holy Spirit is the one that reveals all these things to us. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 9 through 16. While you're getting there, I want to show you this, just kind of illustrate this. And so I'm going to ask for a volunteer. Pastor Mike, come on up here. Mark, would you mind? Stand over there. I know you don't want to, but you're so handsome. Come on over here. Stand right there, and you stand right there. Okay. I just want to illustrate this. You're going to be my spirit. Okay? This is Lou's spirit. All right? This is Holy Spirit. You get to be the Holy Spirit. You get to be Lou's Spirit. All right, so this is the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to be the Father. Okay? So I'm the Father, and I have all the wisdom, all the revelation, all the understanding. So the Holy Spirit comes to me, and we have a conversation. I go, got it? Good. Okay, go back over there. So now the Holy Spirit has got the knowledge, the wisdom, and the revelation of the Father. But here's Lou over here going, what do I do with this money? I don't know what I'm going to do. And my kids are just acting crazy. And oh my gosh, I try to serve God, but I keep failing. And I don't know how to have the victory. And what do I do, God? What do I do? So that's the questions that Lou has. You're just Lou. You're not Mark now. You're Lou. Because I know you don't have those issues. I have those issues. So what do I do? How do I connect my spirit with the Holy Spirit to tell Lou's brain what to do? Isn't that a good question? Okay. Here it is. Hold up right here, guys. We're gonna work this for a minute. No eyes have seen, no ear has heard, and it's never occurred to the human heart all the things God has prepared for those who love him. Your ears have never heard it. Your mind has never thought it. All that the Father has prepared for you that he just told him. He told him what's on Lou's agenda. Can you imagine that? It's like, man, you know what's going on. Well, tell me. Right? I mean, tell me. So God has shown us these profound, I'm reading out of the Voice translation, and startling realities through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things and the deep mysteries of God. So in other words, as the Father exists, the Holy Spirit is always, come on up over here, Holy Spirit, always wanting to know more. Searching out the depths of the Father, going into the very mind of God, and just trying to pull all the knowledge and wisdom and revelation, but not for himself. Because what does he do? He, number one was, boy, I'm losing the class. He teaches, he testifies, and he hears. Okay, he hears. So, Holy Spirit comes and searches all these things in order to teach, testify, and to hear or to disclose. So that's his purpose. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. But if the purpose of the Holy Spirit isn't connected with Lou's troubled brain, come on, his quandary as to how to do life. So he's just trying to get counseling from church, trying to talk to somebody, he's trying to go to the pastor, he's going to another conference. He's doing all those things are good, but here, wait a minute. He needs to know what he's got. Amen. Right? So the Bible says, let me continue reading. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Who can see into a man's heart and know his thoughts? And some people say, I know what you're thinking. No, you don't. Right? Nobody knows my thoughts. Watch this. Only the spirit that dwells within the man. Lou's spirit knows what he's thinking. How many know our spirit was created in the image of God? Our spirit knows what our mind is thinking. If your mind's not renewed, your mind might be thinking stinking thoughts. Like, I'm going to die and not live. I'm going to have more month than I have money. People don't like me. I don't know why I'm always hated and rejected. I don't know why my marriage won't work. All those thoughts. Are your spirit's going, ay, 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 what's the matter with this man? Because he was created in the image of God. But his mind, he knows the thoughts of his mind. And he's saying, dude, you got to transform your thinking. So we do it through the word of God, but another connection I'm going to show you in a second. So his spirit is grieved. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going like, I got some amazing things for him. If he'd only talk to me. If he'd only connect me. I know something about you, Lou. I got it from Father. Oh, God will never do that for me. Oh, I don't think God loves me. Your spirit's going, stop it. Okay, so there's this struggle going on. Let me continue to read it. You must know that we have not received the spirit of this rebellious and broken world, but the spirit that comes from God, that we may experience and comprehend the gifts that come from God. So now look, watch. In the same way, the thoughts of God are only known by his spirit. If the spirit knows the mind of man, your spirit knows your mind, then the Holy Spirit is the only one that can know God's mind. So stop trying to figure out what God is saying. Because you're going to miss something. Now look, I believe in total reliance on Holy Spirit-led life. That's where I'm coming from, so don't look at me like, yeah, I don't know about that. Because the Spirit of God speaks to me. He does prompt. He does affirm. He does confirm things that we say, things that we read. But the disclosure, testifying, and teaching is on an intimate level, spirit to spirit. It's powerful. It's a very powerful thing. So I don't have time to read the rest of that because it's like 11:28. I don't know how that happened. So what do I do? Nothing in the earth, say this with me, nothing in the earth multiplies apart from intimacy. You ain't going to get no frog and you ain't going to get no dog without intimacy. You follow me? Nothing in this world multiplies apart from intimacy. So if you want the kingdom to multiply, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life, I have to have intimacy with the Holy Spirit in order for it to be birthed. You can't make it happen. You can't come to church and go, I will, I will, I will, I will. Eventually you're going to burn out. It's not going to work. But if somehow Lou, if you can walk across, and Holy Spirit, you come up here, can connect, just take your hand by arm, yeah, like that. If my spirit can connect with his spirit, now his spirit can speak to my spirit. And my spirit can speak to his spirit. So what he can do after the Holy Spirit speaks to his spirit, okay, break, come back over here, is my spirit now can talk to my thinking what he just heard. You follow me? How does that happen? Everybody say glossolalia. Heavenly language. I am a firm believer in speaking with other tongues. Praying in the spirit. How? Why? Jude chapter 1 verse 20 says this. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. It's not that you need more of the spirit. You got the spirit when you're born again. But building yourself up on your faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I don't know how to pray, but when I do pray in my heavenly language, something happens. God downloads something to me that I never learned, never knew, never will find out apart from a spiritual impartation. And it's known to the Holy Spirit, and he makes it known to me. That's why it's so vital that the wisdom of God is imparted. And I can give you testimony after testimony of things that have happened to me. There was a time when we had a school. You guys can sit down for a minute. Thank you. I might get you back. We had a school from K to 12. I was in education, Christian education, for 22 years. It was a lot of responsibility and a lot of work, especially when parents who want a great school don't pay their tuition because they believe the church ought to bless them. And I have 72 employees saying, give us our paycheck every 2 weeks. There was a lot of stress and a lot of pressure. And I remember one time we were almost $250,000 short. How would you like to have that bill? And they called me and they said, we're short. I said, well, how much? I'm thinking $25,000, $30,000. $250,000? Who's got their hand in the cookie jar? I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I said, wait a minute, I know what to do. And I went into my prayer place. And I began to pray in my heavenly language. I said, God, I don't know how to pray as I ought. I don't even know how to pray for $250,000. Because the only thing that comes in my mind is the lotto. I'm sorry. The only other thing that comes in my mind is bank robbery. That ain't good either. But I'm praying. And I come out of that connection with the Holy Spirit because He knows the mind of God. He knows where $250,000 is. I don't know. And I come out of that meeting and went into that boardroom and I gave them a plan of recovery, not from my mind because I know it came from God. He gave me thoughts, ideas, insights. He gave me to look for where money was that we didn't think of that could have been transferred. I can't remember all the details, but we met all $250,000 of that and didn't take a loan. Now, when I first heard it, I was freaking out. My mind was going, this ain't going to work. We're going to go under. People are going to, they're going to come up. Blah, blah, blah. The Holy Spirit said, shut up. Why don't you go to the rock? Go to the rock, huh, of my salvation. I run to the stone that the builders rejected. I run mountain and the mountain stands by me. I'm like, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He's like, oh, I just went to the Father. He said, if you did this, it'll work. I remember one time we were at Becca's wedding. This was in Hawaii. We all flew to Hawaii to get, she got married on the beaches of Hawaii. Isn't that wonderful? It's awesome. I get a phone call, board member, pastor, I hate to bother you. I know it's your daughter's wedding, but we're $50,000 short for payroll. I'm like, really? You're calling me and my daughter's, wait. Okay, no problem. I know what to do. I can give you time after time after time after time after time after time. When confronted, when in strain, when in times of difficulty, that I connected with the Holy Spirit in my heavenly language, and suddenly my spirit is instructing my brain in things I never learned. So what do? Every day, every day. This is my life lesson. I'm just teaching you what I do. Every day I pray. I do my confessions. Thank you, Lord, for all my confessions. You know, I'm going on a plane later today, and I think, Father, thank you that plane is going to fly according to its engineering design. I thank you, Lord, there's no accidents and some mishaps. I thank you, Father, that angels go before me, and they're riding the wings and bring me home safely. I have nothing to fear. I don't have to worry because I've already declared it. I've already decreed it. That's part of my prayer time. I thank you, Lord, for my health. I thank you, Father, that my body functions the way it was designed, creatively designed. Father, I thank you that I've got strength beyond my years. I thank you, Father, that my mind is sharp. Yes. I just go through it, I go through it. And then I pray for people. I pray for you all. So, Father, I thank you there's no premature deaths among us, that we at Church on the North Coast live out our days according to your plan and purpose on the earth. Thank you, Father. You know how I don't like funerals. You say, I got you covered, baby. Amen. You say, why do you pray that? Because I don't want to do funerals. I want you to all live. Amen. Say, I want to live too. Yes. You don't want to live? Say, I want to live too. See, so we come into our declaration. And so then at the last part of my prayer, sometimes it's 20 minutes, sometimes it's 45, sometimes it's an hour. I say, now, Holy Spirit, thank you, for you're the discloser, the testifier, and the teacher. I thank you right now that I'm about to pray in my heavenly language, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to go to search the depths of God that only you can know, because the Holy Spirit is the only one that can know the mind of God. I don't know the mind of God, but I'm about to pray because I don't even know what I need to pray about, but I know that when I do, with groaning uttered, you will teach my spirit, and my mind will be sharp and alert to the voice of my spirit who's been in communion with you. These are my prayers every day, and then I start praying. You say, how do you pray? I pray in tongues. I pray in my glossolalia, my heavenly language. And I keep going and I go on and I'm going. And say, how long do you do it? Until I feel like I need to stop. And then when I walk into my day, I'm like, hey, I'm bad. Yes, I am. Because I know what I'm doing. I made my declarations. I made my confessions. I prayed. I mean, I declare every day. I say, Father, I thank you for our marriages, peace, prosperity, and health. I thank you, Lord, that my grandchildren are blessed. Those that aren't married will have a godly spouse. And they will continue to propagate the godly, righteous seed on the earth. Amen. I thank you, Lord, that I'll see my children's children's children. I'll be at every wedding. So why do you do that? Because I have some place to go. I have something to do. You and I are just not drifters. Look at somebody and say, don't drift. Live with purpose. You got to live with purpose. Okay. So nothing in the earth multiplies apart from intimacy. This is our intimacy, is with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. This is a great scripture. I'll try to finish with this. Can you read it with me? Come on, let's do it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Paul apostolically declaring and decreeing and praying over our lives. He's saying, may the grace, God's unmerited favor, God's empowering presence be with you. And the love of God, love never fails. And the communion of the Holy Spirit. That's more than a benediction in your church service that you grew up in your liturgy.
That's right. Yeah.
Now may the grace of the Lord God and the love of the Father be with you all in the communion of the saints. Right? Amen. The organ starts playing. We march out of church. It's more than that. Everybody say more. See, it's got to be more than that. What is it? What is that? The word communion there is Greek word koinonia. Say koinonia. It's a very simple word. Here's what it means. Unity. It means oneness. It means partnership. Now Paul, the apostle, saying, not only do you need grace, not only do you need love, you need partnership with the Holy Spirit. Now when you go into a partnership, if Mark and I were going to start a business and we become partners, we can't become a partner unless we both have an agreed vision for the business. You and I have to agree that what do? Say we have these car salesmen, car, what do you call it, car lot. Yeah, they say, we're going to have a car lot. We agree. We're going to sell cars. And I come to work one day and I'm saying, hey, look, Mark, look what I found. I found some really cool boats. I'm going to put them on the lot. You're like, you are dumb. We're selling cars. What's the matter? I'm not in agreement. I'm not in communion. I'm not in partnership with the vision. Paul was actually saying, may the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you. The in you is not the big deal. How many are saved here? Let me see your hand. Wait. Okay, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Say, it's in me. My question is he with you?
Yes.
Ah, yeah. With you is a cultivating factor. It is a partnership. It's understanding that I have a standard to live by. I conduct my business based on the agreement that Mark and I had together to make this foundation of a business work. So the kingdom, like a business, I am partnering with God. Holy Spirit helps me. Do you follow what I'm saying? So I am partnering now. So his vision is my vision. It's a shared vision.
Yes.
Now I'm just going to quickly give you this and then I'm going to quit, okay? Remember the Garden of Eden?
Yes.
How many know that in the cool of the day, God met with Adam?
Yeah.
What did they do? They walked around and talked. God said, hey, Adam, how's it going? Oh, God, it's amazing. He said, I just want to tell you about me. I want to give you some knowledge. I want to give you some wisdom. I want to tell you how I created the world. And Adam's like, wow, God, that is amazing. He goes, hey, Adam, what do you call that over there? He goes, elephant. I didn't know that was an elephant. It's because while we were walking and talking, I imparted to you knowledge of the universe. And when you were confronted, you knew what it was. parakeet. God's like, you're getting it, Adam. This is awesome. You're just like me. They did that every day. Every day, Adam and God walked together. How do you know that? Because after the fall, Adam's hiding. And God says, Adam, where are you? We're supposed to walk. We're supposed to walk and talk today. I feared because I was naked. What did God say? Who what? Who? You're missing a key word. Four-letter word. Who told? Who was talking to you beside me? See, the enemy knew that the only way he could destroy the relationship that Adam had with God is in the same means of how that relationship was established. The voice. The voice. So the serpent, cunning, came up with a voice. Ah, Adam, if you eat that, you will not surely die. God doesn't want you to be like him. That's why he told you not to eat of it. Adam's like, okay, that makes sense. See, the enemy will always come with deception, a partial truth. That's the only way he could seduce Adam. Adam was so used to truth, the enemy had to create a voice to defeat God's voice in his life. Do you know how many voices are vying for your attention and my attention in this generation? More than ever now. With your iPads and iPhones, with social media, with the news media, with everybody out there blabbing and wanting to let you know what they think. I'm like, I don't really need to know what you think. Because what God thinks is better than what you think. So what did God do? He came with a skin of an animal, covered Adam, and then gave him a promise of Jesus. And Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away and go to the Father, that he could send you back the voice. Because you can't walk in this life without the voice. And we as church folk have to be committed to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere we go, every minute of the day, every second, we have to lean in to the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you do this, you will begin experiencing life the way God had intended it. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. So we understand then, you have to protect the voice. God told Adam in the middle of the garden, tend and keep the garden, Adam. Tend means to cultivate it. Why does he have to cultivate it? Because that was the place of voice exchange. You have to cultivate my voice. You have to grow in my voice. It wasn't the trees. The trees were perfect. God created them. It was the cultivation of his relationship with the Father. Cultivate it and protect it. Keep means protect. Why did God tell him to protect it? Because he knew that the enemy, shrewd as he would create an ulterior voice to try to steal away their intimacy. Church, that's what's happening in this generation. We are a bunch of churchgoers that don't have the mind of God. So we have to make a recommitment this morning. And I'm not trying to make us feel bad. I'm just trying to challenge us here. That we can't do this with church services and worship services and prophetic conferences and new books and tapes that we get. We have to do it with good old-fashioned, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I'm going to get in my secret place. I'm going to walk with you. That's why I like that old hymn, In the Garden. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. You think, oh, I hate that song. They played that at my mother's funeral. There's a lot of truth there, though, church. What is the truth? The truth is that in the garden, it is where the voice is exchanged. So we got to get back to the voice. So I'm going to close with that. I got a lot more to say, but there's always another Sunday. This is only one of 52. That's what I always keep telling everybody. It's only one of 52. God will give us 52 times every Sunday to gather like this. But he'll never give us another opportunity like this to make a decision to hear his voice and to walk with him in the cool of the day. If you're here today and you're hiding because you find yourself naked, deficient, failure, listen, God's got something to cover you with. He always comes to you with a covering. That's why you never have to fear, Pastor Mike, about not feeling qualified to pray. Because God always has a bleeding skin in his hand, which represents the Christ. And he covers us. I love that. God, you cover me. Under your mighty wing, you cover me. So today, if you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I want intimacy with God. I want a deeper intimacy with him. I'm going to commit myself to my prayer language. And maybe you never have prayed in your prayer language, your heavenly language. There are people up here today that will pray with you about that. You say, well, I'm not sure about it. I don't know because I taught this and I learned that. Listen, it's a simple connection. Your spirit, God's spirit, to the mind of the Father. Holy Spirit searches the mind of God and reveals it to your spirit. When you connect in your heavenly language, God reveals it through your spirit into your natural mind. You're like, wow, God, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to treat Tina that way. I'm going to love my children this way. Oh, God, that's an amazing thought. I'm going to go talk to my neighbor and say this to them. I think I'm going to bake them a pie. I'm going to bless them. Where'd that thought come from? It came from your connection with the Holy Spirit. So if you would, just with me right now, just close your eyes for a minute. And just maybe lift your hand up before the Father, symbolizing your complete and total surrender to God. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We know that, Father, in this room right now, the presence of the Lord is here. But Father, more than to heal or to deliver, and you're here for that too, but you're here to make a connection. So connect to my spirit now, Father. Just tell him, I want to be intimate with you, Father. I want to be connected to you, Lord. I want to hear your voice, Father. I don't want to hear another's voice. I'm going to cultivate it throughout this day, throughout this week. I'm going to purpose, Father, every day this week to cultivate the voice of God in my life. Thank you, Father. While their heads are bowed, you say, preacher, I don't know that if I were to die today that I would go to heaven. But man, I want to know. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want God. I want this kind of relationship with God. I don't want a relationship with stained glass and liturgy. I want a relationship where the Father speaks to me and I speak to the Father. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you. And if you need that prayer, nobody looking around, simply put, all you got to do is lift your hand up, wave it at me, put it back down. That's all you got to do. It's an acknowledgement, not to me because I can't save you, but the Holy Spirit can. Anybody in this room right now that says, you know what? I just need Jesus. That's what I need. I need Jesus. I need him in my life. Amen. Let's all stand, please. Thank you, Father. Right now, I just felt the urging of the Holy Spirit to tell you that somebody was being healed on the right side of your neck. Is there a lump on the right side up underneath your kind of ear, between your ear and your neck? God says, I want to heal that in Jesus' name right now. Father, thank you for the healing virtues of Christ that are in this room. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is here to disclose. Right now, if you'll just quiet yourself, the Holy Spirit wants to tell you. He wants to give you a kingdom idea, kingdom thought about the dilemma that you've been facing. Just ask him, say, Lord, tell me, speak to me, Father. Speak to me right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Show me, God, what it is you want me to do. So when I leave this room today, I leave with confidence. I leave today, Father, knowing that you're in control. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask all altar workers and ministers to come up to the front, please, just for a minute. And man, today you need prayer. Folks, you need prayer. Yes, I do too. I want you, before you go that way, to come this way. Let us pray with you. Two or three agree, touching anything, it shall be done. That's awesome, right? That's awesome. So come for prayer. Say, I'd like to know more about this glossolalia. I'd like to know more about this heavenly language. And let us pray with you, okay? So if you would, Kristen, would you mind singing? And then we're gonna just open up this altar and just dismiss you. But please, connect. Connect with the Holy Spirit today, okay? God loves you so much. He's got a great plan for your life. He wants to tell you all about it. So don't walk away. Don't get the noises of this world in your brain. Tune into him. Intimacy, right? Causes it to grow. Catherine, you're going to get out there in the foyer. She'll meet you for Africa and also for the Bible classes that are going to be taking place for the children, school, after school classes. All right. Praise God. I want you to live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Okay? We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll see you again next month. I'm here about once a month. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this great service. God bless all of you. Please come for prayer. Amen. T and I will be up here to pray with you as well. God bless you. You're dismissed.